You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And then there were two. Two games remain in the 2017-2018 Sacramento Kings season. Tonight in San Antonio versus the Spurs, and then it all comes to an end on Wednesday when the Kings host the Houston Rockets. But that doesn't mean it's the end for us. This is the Locked On Kings podcast. We are a daily podcast of Sacramento Kings content, and that does not end at the end of the season. All playoffs, all draft lottery season, all draft season, summer league, everything, every single summer month of the offseason, you can count on us right here at the Locked On Kings podcast to keep you up to date with a lot of great content, a lot of interviews, inside looks, your commentary, your thoughts, so much for you to look forward to, and we hope that you are a part of the Locked On Kings summer of 2018. My name is Matt George from Sports 1140 KHDK. That is the flagship radio station of the Sacramento Kings in the California capital. I'm a producer. I am a show host. I'm an online sports reporter. I do it all around here, and I'm happy to be able to bring you this Locked On Kings podcast. Hope you enjoyed having Chuck back next week. He had a procedure done, came back better than ever. He and I are going to be working together a lot as we approach the end of the regular season, or actually when the regular season ends. He and I are going to be doing a lot of duo work. We're going to be, I can already preview this for you, we're going to be going through every single player that the Kings have on their roster that they're probably going to be bringing back, and we're going to break down half of it. It's going to be the season that they had and looking back on what we liked and what we didn't like about their first season. And then the second half will be what we want to see them work on this offseason and where they're going to be at the start of the 2018-2019 campaign. But again, my name is Matt George. That's Charles D. Hamilton. He will be back with me here on this podcast. Hope you enjoyed him last week and hope you are ready for another great week hosted by yours truly here on the Locked On Kings podcast. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you're not familiar with that network, there are local podcasts for every single team in the NBA. There's also a Locked On NBA podcast that covers league-wide. There's Locked On NFL, Locked On MLB. This is the podcast network for you. If you like these kind of sports shows, you're absolutely in the right place. You want to do me a favor? I would really appreciate it. Why don't you go on our iTunes, find our show on iTunes, Locked On Kings. All you have to do is log on to your iTunes page. Creating an account takes almost no time, even if you don't use iTunes. I don't use iTunes at all. But go on iTunes, find our page there, and just leave us a quick review. 5 stars or 3 stars or 1 star. You can be brutally honest or you can leave positive feedback. We would love it. You can be as kind as my mom is. All you got to do is just go on to iTunes and leave a quick review for us. It is how we learn, it's how we grow, and how we can hear directly from you, your feedback as well. You can also reach me directly at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter. If you're not on Twitter, you can email me, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. That's saclocalmedia.com. Find me there, and you can talk to me about anything that we talk about in this show, future shows, past shows, any suggestions that you have for the podcast, whatever you want. I'm here to talk about it with you, and I would appreciate you doing that. Some news before we get to our special interview today. Tim Maxwell from Sacktown Royalty. You've heard him on the Locked On Kings podcast with me before. He is back. He is a draft guru. He is a guy that loves to work his way into the hypotheticals and the draft situation and lottery percentages and all that. He's going to be joining me here very, very shortly. You're going to hear from him and all his ideas and picks and thoughts of the, I guess, his mock draft and everything like that. But before that, breaking news came out today. The Sacramento Kings and their G League team are relocating. The Kings have relocated the Reno Bighorns, or are going to be relocating the Reno Bighorns out of Reno to Stockton here, which is about a 30-minute drive outside of Sacramento. They are not going to be the Bighorns anymore. They're going to have a new name and a new logo. We don't know what that is yet, but as soon as we find out, we will bring it right to you here on this podcast. But it's a shorter drive, so it's going to be great. We remember Yorgos Papayannis, when he used to be on the Kings, complaining about the long drive to Reno to play basketball with them. Well, now I guess you've eliminated that problem. It's no longer a long drive to Reno. It's a half an hour drive down the road to Stockton. And I like the Kings moving this G League affiliate closer, and I like them emphasizing the G League more and more as they're preparing players and continuing with this youth movement. I would love to see the G League get to what AAA baseball really is to the MLB. If they can do that and accomplish that, I think it would be great for the NBA and great for the game of basketball. You've already heard conversations about expansion drafts, drafts becoming 5-6 rounds, and players drafted in rounds 3 through 6 are then drafted to the G League teams and try and work their way up. I would love to see that happen. I think it's a great move by the Sacramento Kings. They purchased and acquired the Reno Bighorns back in 2016. That's why they they were able to make this move. So it's going to be definitely very, very exciting. I'm anxious to see how that affects the future development of this team and how that affects ultimately the growth of this franchise going forward. I have the honor and the privilege of being joined by a good friend of mine. He is from Sacktown Royalty. If you do not follow this blog and you call yourself a Sacramento Kings fan, you are absolutely missing it out. Sacktown Royalty is, they've got, I have not hesitated to say, I think they have, out of all publications and all blogs and anything that covers the Kings, and this includes KHDK, I believe that Sacktown Royalty has their fingers on the pulse of the Kings fan base better than any other publication, and a lot of that has to do with the work of this man, Tim Maxwell. You know him on Twitter as the Sacktown Baby Giraffe. He goes by many names that I like to call him, the draft guru, the ping pong percentage guy. You got so many things that you like to follow, especially around trade deadline as well. But we've had you on before. Excited to have you back on. Plenty of things to talk about, Tim. Thank you so much for taking the time once again.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. Thanks for having me, Matt.
Absolutely. So we are approaching the end. We got two games left tonight against San Antonio, and then we got the Houston Rockets back in the Golden 1 Center, and then we are home free. We're in the summer months, and the season is over, although I'm sure the playoffs is going to go for another month and a half, or how long those seem to drag out for. But ultimately, is this for you a sigh of relief? It's finally coming to an end, or are you also disappointed that Kings basketball is going away and now we have to wait a long summer until it comes back?
Well, I think usually for about the first month or two of the season, or after the season, I should say, it's usually more of a sigh of relief. It's over, the pain is over, and then you start missing basketball in those months of July and August, and then preseason starts in September. So as of right now, I'm ready for the draft lottery to come about, to find out where we're going to be picking, and start arguing among our fellow Kings fans about who we want to pick come June.
Yeah, so the draft has been, at least the last 3 months, the draft has been the absolute cornerstone centerpiece. Do you call yourself a draft guru? I call you a draft guru. I think you're just head over the heels for that kind of stuff. Would you classify yourself or clarify yourself as a draft guru, I suppose?
Maybe armchair wannabe guru. I would say Bryant West, who's one of our guys over at Sacktown, he's probably our main draft guy. He's pretty involved in college. But, yeah, I mean, I do a lot of our tracking for the Kings positioning. I update an article where I let you know every night who we want to win, who we want to lose, and best and worst case scenarios. So more of a background analytics numbers guy. But I'm pretty familiar with the players that are in our range of drafting as well.
So I've been very openly anti-tank for a very, very long time. I think it's disgusting. I think it's gross, terrible for the game. Whether you want to recognize or say that certain teams are tanking or not, that's your prerogative. I tend to believe that even with Costa Kufos resting and the amount of players that are out, the Kings are without Garrett Temple, Frank Mason, and Scott Labissiere tonight. I still believe that by having Bogdan Bogdanovic and De'Aaron Fox on the floor at the end of games when it's close suggests that you're still trying to win games if that young core can do it for you, suggesting that that might be just as valuable, if not more valuable, than percentage and ping pong balls. I know we've talked about it before, but as we approach like these final five games of the season, going through these final five games, when we know we're well out of it and we can see the epic tank job that's going on by teams like Memphis, Orlando, and Chicago, where do you fall? Has it changed or adapted for you at all?
Not necessarily. I think a good perspective to have at this time of the season is lost. The Kings aren't making the playoffs. We're not going anywhere. Is I'm happy when they win. I'm not upset when they win. I think if you're upset if the Kings win a game, you probably should take a look at your fandom a little bit. But also when they lose, I look at the Lottawas and I say, okay, well, at least those improve. So it's kind of an either-or situation. As far as these last two games go, to be honest, it would behoove the Kings to lose, and they are playing superior teams. So I think as long as they're letting guys like Fox and Bogey and Buddy play, if they lose, it's obviously going to be better for them come June.
Tim, a lot of my listeners have had to sit through and struggle through hearing me time and time again talk about tanking and get on my soapbox about that, and I want to hesitate to do that again. But one thing I try and emphasize every single time I discuss it is people want to automatically associate the position that they finish in the lottery is the position that they're going to have with the draft. And that's just not the case. I understand best chance scenarios and mathematics, statistics, and percentages and odds. I understand that. But ultimately, it is a game of luck. It's still a bunch of ping pong balls in the middle of a big bowl that is rolling around, and then they're grabbing them out. That's ultimately what's happening and what it comes down to. So to me, tanking, suggesting getting more ping pong balls in there, doesn't guarantee anything and isn't a gamble versus the players that you have on the floor with the Sacramento Kings right now. But we also know that they are changing the system a little bit. Do you think this is the right time for the NBA to finally be adapting this draft lottery system going into next year, or do you think it's maybe even a couple years too late?
I think it's probably a little late. A lot of people, you know, talk about the Sixers and their tanking, and they took full advantage of the system that, frankly, to a certain extent, does encourage losing. If you're not going to make the playoffs and you're not going to be close to making the playoffs, the system does benefit you if you lose. So, I mean, I think the modifications are good. Are they really going to prevent tanking? No. And I don't know if there is a legitimate, fair system that can totally prevent tanking, because anytime you reward worse teams with better chances, teams are going to try to lose. So I also don't think you can go into any sort of like a wheel program where, you know, you just rotate year after year, because honestly, if the Golden State Warriors were up this year and they got the number one pick, obviously that would destroy any sort of competitive balance that even exists in the league right now. So I think personally the modifications are good. That they happen to be coming in a year in which the Kings don't have a draft pick is even a little bit better for Kings fans, in my opinion.
I am not a very good follower or fan of college basketball. I never have been. A lot of it I associate to, I never went to a major school, so I didn't have that alma mater alumni kind of hat to hang on, or any pole to hang my hat on. So when I look at March Madness, I think I fall into the pool of a lot of different people where you overemphasize solid games or solid performances, or even put too much stock into one or two bad games for players that we expect to be good. I mean, you could look at Trae Young. You could look at Michael Porter Jr. barely playing at all this season. How much stock do you – well, first off, how much do you follow college basketball in March Madness? And then how much stock do you put into a full season's work versus a good or bad March Madness tournament?
Yeah, that's a great question. For me, I do follow quite a bit, and I've watched multiple games, I would say, from every probably top 10 pick or so, top 10 prospect. For me, I look at the season's work, and then I take that work, and then I look at it in the focus of the tournament and playing the best players in the country. Now, you look at someone like Ayton, who lost early in the tournament, and I don't think that really takes away from his value for me. I think he's a top two prospect. So I think you look at it, if you look at guys that have one or two great games in the tournament, you can't draft them because of those two games. You need to look at the games prior to see if those were just outbursts or if they were making the most of an opportunity. So I think the full season is more important than the tournament. Mm-hmm. But the tournament can show you things, how guys perform against other players that are at or near their same talent level.
So I understand the argument for drafting the best player that's available no matter what spot the Kings are in. However, sometimes I feel like that can be a cop-out, low-risk, maybe a little bit of a cop-out, low-risk maneuver. From your perception, is it more important, you think, for the Kings to go out and, let's say they fall at 6 or 5, and get the best player available at that spot who everybody thinks should be the 5th overall pick? Or do you think it would be better for them to try and find the player that they think is going to fit best in with their system as it is right now?
Yeah, I think the good news for the Kings is that there are two non-needs. The two positions they really shouldn't be drafting in are point guard and shooting guard. And there really aren't players in those ranges, aside from the possibility of Trae Young being somewhere in that mix, that fit that mold. So I think the Kings have needs at small forward, at power forward, and at center. I don't think they're certainly not set at small forward, and Scal and Cauley-Stein have been inconsistently impressive this season, so there's needs there. So for me, the Kings are mathematically by far most likely to finish in sixth place, assuming there aren't any jumps in the lottery. And there you've got guys like Porter, possibly. You've got Bagley or Jaren Jackson Jr. or one of the Bridges or Mohamed Bamba. So any one of those guys can both fill the need for the Kings and possibly be the best player available. So the good news for the Kings in this draft is their positional need also equals the position of someone being a best player available.
So let me break this, the top 10 picks, let me break them down into three categories, 1 through 3, 4 through 7, and then 8 through 10. If the Kings were to fall into those three categories, we'll start with 1 through 3, even though there may be a declared overall number one overall pick that everybody would obviously want. I think Luka Doncic is the closest thing to that right now, or seems to be to that right now. In that 1 through 3 range, if the Kings manage to win or have some success in the lottery and fall within that top 3 pick, what name jumps off the table at you at a guy they legitimately should go all head full for?
Yeah, like you said, Luka is my number one overall prospect. He's most folks' overall prospect. He's a sophomore, small forward out of Europe who can really do everything on offense. And then I've got Ayton as my number two and Jaren Jackson Jr. as my number three. I wouldn't say he's as well of a known name to maybe your casual college fan, but his defense, his post defense and his three-point shooting are really more impressive than anyone else in the draft as far as big men go. So those are my top three. If the Kings walked away with any one of those three guys, I think they're walking away with a future star.
And how about then the 4 through 7 range, kind of the middle of the pack of the top five where you're not getting the elite of the elite? They're probably gone by that point, but you're still getting a darn good player. What name really sticks out that you think would be in that area that the Kings could hopefully have fall into their lap?
Yeah, so the next three in my list would be Michael Porter Jr. Now, he obviously spent the entire season injured. We didn't really get a good look at him, but he's a 6'10", small forward, power forward, some sort of combo player, maybe in the mold of like a Joe Johnson or maybe a Carmelo Anthony type player, great scorer. And then you've got Marvin Bagley. He was supposed to be a senior in high school this season. And I think a lot of people forget that he reclassified to join Duke. So he just turned 19. He put up averages of 21 and 11. He's a 6'11 guy. He can rebound and score the ball from the post. And then my final number, you said 4 through 7, right? So 4 or 5. Mikal Bridges out of Villanova. He's a junior, 6'7", best defender probably in college basketball overall. He can guard 1 through 3. Wonderful three-point shooter. He shot 43% from the field this year. And I think he projects to me as a super role player, sort of in the mold of like an Otto Porter Jr. who's not a superstar, not even an all-star, but a guy that's going to get maxed out. And you're going to understand why he gets maxed out when he does. And then probably Miles Bridges after that. And I think that's my 4 through 7 there. Miles Bridges from Michigan State. Again, a tweener. He's 6'7", 6'8", played power forward, small forward at Michigan State, probably plays power forward in the NBA. Sophomore, he can dunk. He can shoot pretty decently from outside, just kind of an all-around athlete, heady player.
Is there a player in this draft that no matter where the Kings end up, you think they should go all ahead full no matter what? Everybody's available to make it happen, try and move up in the draft to get a certain guy. Is there anybody like that the Kings should fight unrelentlessly for?
Doncic is pretty close. Other than that, no. I think Ayton's really, really got some good prospects, same with Jaren Jackson Jr. Doncic might be a generational player. Of course, we've heard that about a lot of Europeans over the past, but the fact, you know, if you're a Kings fan and you love watching Bogey play, imagine a better version of Bogey that's 6 years younger, and that's exactly what Doncic is. So, for me, I probably wouldn't, you know, I gave this hypothetical on Twitter earlier, if you would trade De'Aaron Fox in the number 6 for Luka. I personally wouldn't, but I would move pretty much any other player and pick combination for the guy.
So if the Kings really got the bad luck and they fell towards 8, 9, 10, or even out of the top 10 with their lottery, hopefully, pray to God that doesn't take place and doesn't happen. But if it were to, is it probably in the best interest of the Kings to then try and move that pick and get something back in return rather than try and pick the best player available at that spot?
It could be. You've got Bamba. You've got Wendell Carter is a good prospect from Duke. So I would say this draft is about 8 or 9 guys deep. So if you can stay in that range, 8 or 9, 7, 8, 9, you're still pretty good. If you're falling to the 10, 11 range, which I don't even know if that's mathematically possible for the Kings, then you might look at either trading the pick for an established young player or moving back and gaining some assets. But really, I would say there's 8 or 9 guys that if the Kings walked away from the draft with one of those players, I think they should do that rather than trade back, which has kind of been a Vlade Divac move, or moving the pick for a different player.
Tim, I really appreciate you taking the time. We're definitely going to have you back on when we get closer to draft time to really dissect and break down this draft. Obviously, we'll know more after the draft lottery takes place, but I wanted to sneak this in there as well before we go because it's been, for some reason, a hot topic of conversation amongst Kings Nation and Kings fans. A lot of hypotheticals have been thrown out there. I certainly have my feelings on it, but I'm curious about yours. Kawhi Leonard, we know the dysfunction and the breakup that he's been having with San Antonio. They expect to probably be moving him here shortly. Has a year left on his deal, I believe, and then a player option, if I'm not mistaken. Is that legitimately a player that you could see the Kings going after? And if you were in Vlade's shoes, would you try and go and maybe sacrifice some of your prospects or long-term build to try and bring in a star like that? Or is just the risk of him then leaving just not worth going for it?
I think Kawhi's a guy, if he was available, And if he's healthy, he's a guy worth going after. And those are two big questions. He's been out for essentially the entire season. And there are some physical issues there. There are some question marks about how ready he is medically versus how ready he is mentally. So assuming he's healthy and available, I wouldn't berate the Kings for going after him. He's a top five, top 10 player in the league. He immediately pushes the Kings to another caliber of team. What I would not do personally is I would not give up anyone of Fox, Bogey, or Buddy in the deal. And just due to the fact that he only has 1 year left on his contract, if we were to sacrifice, let's just say, Bogey and Scal and the number six for Kawhi, and then he leaves after a year, the Kings are in a terrible, terrible position. So for me, it would probably exclude the Kings from any such deal, but I would include the number six if that's what we end up, and any other young player besides Fox, Bogey, or Buddy, and I don't know if that gets a deal done with San Antonio.
Tim, again, thank you so much for your time. We will definitely have you back on as the season winds down. We'll talk some playoffs as well. It'll be fun to actually talk about what's happening on the floor. We'll have to do it again very shortly.
Yep, thanks so much, Matt.
That is Tim Maxwell from Sacktown Royalty. Again, check out his work on SacktownRoyalty.com. Check out all the work that Sacktown Royalty puts out. And if you are on Twitter, he is a great follow. At TimMaxwell22 is where you can find him. He's the Sacktown baby giraffe. Tim, thanks again for taking the time, and we'll talk to you very soon. Always a pleasure to speak with Tim Maxwell. Again, you can follow on Twitter at TimMaxwell22. I highly recommend doing it. He'll provide you with up-to-date information, lottery percentages, draft orders, mock drafts, all of that. Sacktown Royalty is a phenomenal blog that I highly encourage you to read and become a part of. And we'll definitely have him on again as we approach the NBA draft and the draft lottery and all that. I know he loves coming on and loves speaking with all of you, and he gets great feedback from all of you as well every time he does come on. So definitely keep that up at TimMaxwell22 on Twitter. He is the Sacktown baby giraffe. The Sacramento Kings and the San Antonio Spurs are playing tonight, and I can give you three inactives for the Kings. We know that Garrett Temple, Frank Mason, and Scal Labissiere are all out tonight. They are not playing. All three of them have legitimate injuries. Garrett Temple has a sprained left ankle, so he is out. Frank Mason dealing with a sore left heel. He is out as well. He was listed as questionable at the start of today and late last night, but ultimately he is not going to be ready to go. Scal also dealing with a sprained left ankle. He's out as well. Costa Kufos was shut down by Dave Yeager not too long ago, so we expect him to be out as well. And I know a lot of people are going to disagree with me on this because they know my feelings on tanking. I still do not believe that the Sacramento Kings are tanking. However, that doesn't necessarily mean they're not putting themselves in a good position to lose games. Playing Jakar Sampson, Jack Cooley, and anybody that they want to play does not necessarily mean that they are trying to lose games. It's more they're trying to get minutes and development at the NBA level for some of these younger guys. And ultimately, it's like I said with Tim, if the game is close and Bogdan Bogdanovic, Buddy Hield, and De'Aaron Fox are on the floor, the Kings have their best chance to win out of anybody else, and I believe that they are going to be going for the win every single time. It's not just that the players aren't tanking. I'm sure Dave Yeager and the Kings ultimately would appreciate, even if it's a quote-unquote meaningless win, if it's your young core getting it done, being clutch again. We know De'Aaron Fox and Bogdan Bogdanovic and Buddy Hield have excelled in different parts of this season with clutch buckets and closing out games. If they can do that and add on to that and build that, that's all the better for me. That's great. Also, if they lose, no harm done because it's lottery percentage as well. So hopefully the Kings can get the job done tonight in San Antonio, and a lot of Kings fans are hoping for a loss. I wouldn't be surprised if they get the loss tonight, and then should be fun as we celebrate the season and wrap everything up on Wednesday. I will talk to you tomorrow. We will recap this Kings versus Spurs game. Look forward to that Rockets game and more content only that you can expect right here on the Locked On Kings podcast. But until then, my name is Matt George. Thank you for listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast,
part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.